health book. Come on. You're not going to go for it? I mean, there's got to be a top-selling book out there. Well, I already heard the answer. According to The Economist magazine, the number one best-selling book year after year after year is the Bible. The Bible, 25 million copies are sold every single year in this country. In addition, there's a lot more around the world. In fact, we spend $500 million on the Bible. You would think that, most people don't have a Bible. But as it turns out, surprisingly, 91% of Americans have a Bible. In fact, we don't have just one. On average, we have four Bibles in our home. Some of us have more than that. And yet, for some reason, we are buying new Bibles every single year. Perhaps it's because there are over 500 English translations of the Bible, and there's always a new one coming out, right? And it's nice to have the latest translation of sometimes a difficult-to-read book. The sacred text. Speaking of translations, back in 1604, King James said it's time for a new translation. Wasn't the very first English, but a new translation. And so he brought together 47 scholars who went to the original manuscripts that they had, Hebrew, Greek, and they compiled what would be the King James Version. Now, this translation was published in 1611. It had its 500th birthday just a few years ago. And it was not changed for 270 years until they decided in 1881 to make some modifications. Maybe add a few more thous and these. No, I'm just kidding. And then in 1982, they decided to take out some of those antiquated words and present to us the new King James translation. Speaking of KJV, back when it was first published, the literacy rate was extremely what? Low. I mean, most people could not read. And of course, it was very what? Expensive. And so you had two challenges for folks to get into the Bible. But now, everyone can read, and everyone has a Bible, and yet hardly anyone is reading it. According to certain surveys, only 16% of Christians actually read the Bible every single day. And here is something more startling, according to Barna. Barna says that teenagers, 3%. Only 3% are reading the Bible every day. Are you in the 3%? That's rhetorical. Now, consider for the fact that every one of us has access to technology, and every one of us has probably a computer, and certainly some of us have a smartphone, and certainly we are into that device. And we are, going to Snapchat and to Facebook. And we are doing all kinds of things every single day. I wonder if we were as faithful at checking our texts that we get as with God's text, what would happen to your life? Kids, the word for today is text. And not the text that you might be thinking, not texting, right? We're talking about the sacred text, Scripture. How many times am I going to say text? Well, you got to write it down. And let me know, you'll get a special something after the service. Now, today we are week two in our series, our five-part series called Foundational Living. Last Sabbath, we learned that our foundation is built on who? On Jesus. We knew that. But in order to build your foundation on Christ, you got to be where? In the Bible. That's where we find him. Fact is, though, the Bible's not being read. And in fact, in some places, it's actually being removed. The Marriott Hotel Corporation announced last year that for all future chains, some of their new chains, their new marketing chains to millennials, those hotels, they're removing the Gideon Bible. Now, there's a hotel called the Damson Dean Hotel in England. They're actually removing the Bible from the nightstand and replacing it with 50 Shades of, which leads to the question of gray, which leads to the question, what's on your nightstand? Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, that would suggest that somehow we're living in a dark place. Well, let's face it, when we wake up in the middle of the night and we need to go to the bathroom, it can be treacherous, especially if you have some kids, right, with some toys. But seriously, we live in a dark world. And we see the evidences all around us, terrorism on the headlines, more than we'd like to see. Certainly degrading values, new definitions of truth and what is real. We see atheism on the rise. We see other religious beliefs on the rise. Christianity is declining. We see a bombardment upon the biblical values that we find here in our society. A slow ebbing away. You know those values that say, put yourself first. The value that says, live for pleasure. The value that says, eat, live, for tomorrow you die. Where can we go to for light in a very dark world? If you would, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we'll be looking at verses 26 through 38. Acts chapter 8. I'll be in the New King James Version today. And here we're going to join the Apostle Philip. He is a disciple of Christ. Jesus has already ascended to heaven. And the Apostle Philip finds himself being called by an angel to go visit a man along the side of the road. So here we go. Acts chapter 8, beginning verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her, what? Her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to do what? To worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah, the prophet. So here we have a foreigner who was visiting Israel. Now, eunuchs, those who've been castrated, were not welcome in Israel. And in fact, it was against the law. And yet, don't you find it interesting that God would send Philip to go to a foreigner who had a gender identity issue and to minister to him? This eunuch was the treasury director, the manager of the central bank, so to speak, the Ben Bernanke of his government, the Janet Yellen of the Ethiopian government. And here he is in his Learjet, his double wide chariot. And so, he is there studying the Word of God. He's in the text. Now, He's gone to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, right? He's gone there, he's worshiped, he's sacrificed. He probably knows nothing about Jesus, but he's heard about the Hebrew God, and so he's there worshiping. He's on his way back, but while there, he picks up a pre-KJV of Isaiah, right? One of the books of the Bible. He's got the book of Isaiah in his possession, and he begins to read it there in the hotel of Jerusalem, right? He's reading it, and he's so captivated. He keeps reading it even as he's traveling back to his home in his chariot. In fact, he's so captivated that he takes the chariot and pulls off to the side to continue to read. He's really captivated with the text. When was the last time you were so captivated with what you were reading, you pulled off to the side of the road? Don't tell me it was when you were reading a text. Fact is, this story reminds us of four promises that will happen when you open this book. Four promises that God will bring to you if you invest a little time in this book. Promises of the sacred text. Number one, worship happens. What does the text say? That we have a eunuch going to Jerusalem to worship. And while there, he picks up the book of Isaiah and he begins to study it. And in that process, he is worshiping. Now, is he reading the scripture? No, he's actually studying it. He's really pondering it. He's reading it more than one time, probably. How inefficient, you say. He's hovering in this one spot. He's thinking about it. By the way, when it comes to worship, there are three elements I can see here. There is prayer. Prayer is so crucial in worship, but prayer alone does not complete worship. There's music in worship, right? But music alone does not complete worship. There is getting into the Word of God that completes worship. Why? Because it's God Himself speaking to the worshiper. We need to hear from our Lord. God's Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Back to Acts chapter 8, now verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. This leads us to promise number two when we open the sacred text, and that is God sends the helper. Let's face it, the Bible is not always easy to read, as well as there's many layers to it, right? And so God wants us to understand what He has for us, and so He sends the Holy Spirit. Now, I would encourage each one of us, when we open the Bible, to acknowledge the Spirit and invite Him to help you, give you wisdom. But this man doesn't know to do that, so God sends the helper, and in this case, it's Philip. Philip comes to explain what he's reading. God wants to reveal His love, His acceptance, His forgiveness. Sometimes we may miss that. But if we ask the Holy Spirit, "Show me in this story Your love for me," he's going to answer that prayer. By the way, I wonder if there's a person like the eunuch that's here today. Perhaps you know a little bit about the Bible, you have studied a little bit about the Bible, but you're kind of needing some help. You need a Philip to come beside you. And if that's the case, I would love to talk with you about that. love to have one of our elders, one of our pastors study with you. Let us know. Back to Acts, verse 8, chapter 8, now verse 32. The place in the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Which leads us to the next promise when we open God's sacred text. And that is that Jesus Christ is revealed. The hero of the Bible is not Moses. It's not the Apostle Paul. It's not Joseph or the disciples. The hero is always Jesus. Now, we can go to the Bible and we can learn history. But what we really want to see is Jesus, how he shaped history. You know, we can go to the Bible and read about miracles. But what we really want to experience is Jesus and how he made the miracle happen. What happens when we study the sacred text? We encounter the miracle maker himself, Jesus. Now, a while back, I was having a tough morning, so I went to the Bible and was wondering, Lord, could I hear from you especially today? I mean, you know, have you ever had one of those mornings? You know, maybe there's a decision you need to make, or maybe you're feeling depressed, maybe you're feeling discouraged, whatever. You say, Lord, could I hear from you today? In a special way, in a personal way. Well, in that particular day, I read from the Psalms. I try to read the Psalms every day. And then I went to the Gospel. I had a, passage there I was reading. And then I went to a devotional book. And what I noticed is that when I was reading, there was an overlap. Has that ever happened to you? Of a particular phrase. An overlap. I was feeling discouraged. And I saw it again. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Lord, is that you encouraging me? You know, God has a way of speaking to us through his word. It warmed my heart. Are you in the word? Are you in the sacred text? Of course, the enemy has convinced more than 80% that they don't have time. Hey, you don't have time to be in this. What do you have to show for it? You know, if you spend a half an hour here. What? I mean, you already know the stories, so. You know, the enemy has convinced over 80% of American Christians not to be in the book every day. And the devil has won the battle there, but you know what Martin Luther used to do? Martin Luther, you know, when he had a really busy day, right? What was his go-to response, right? He typically spent an hour in the Bible and in prayer. What would he typically do? Shorten it to a half an hour? No, he doubled it up, right? I'm going to spend 2 hours because I need an extra amount of strength from God. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How is your time with Jesus? Are you spending time with him every day? How's your prayer life? We talked about prayer last fall. How's your prayer life going? The companion to prayer is the Bible. The two halves that make a whole. Do you have a designated place, a designated time? yet another challenge facing us when we look at the sacred text has to do with the mindset that has been embedded within us. See, in our society, we don't have to look very hard. We don't have to dig very deep to get answers. Have you noticed that? If you have a question, what's that device that you can just speak it? You can just state your question, and then it'll give you the answer. With Siri, I mean, it's like a little tower. It sits in your room. Echo? Yeah. Okay. Or you can go to Google, of course. That's the old-fashioned way, right? That's what I do. You know, how old is Kim Basinger? Okay. So the idea, yeah, you're like, the teens are like, who? And so anyway, the idea is we don't have to dig very hard to get the answers that we really need to have, right? We take that mindset into reading the Bible, it can hurt us. You know, we also have a tendency to be a little ADD with how we read, right? Because everything that we read, I wouldn't say everything, but most of what we read is on a what? It's on a screen. It's on a screen. And you know, have you noticed that, you know, when it comes to posting, I mean, it's always efficiently stated so you can read it quickly, right? If it's a long post, if it's a long email, don't tell anyone, but we may not read the whole thing. We'll just, you know, skim it, right? And I know that every one of you read the entire article that comes out every week in our church e-letter, you know, 5 paragraphs. I know you read every sentence. Actually, we're being trained to skip and skim. And, you know, that works in school sometimes. And what it does, though, is it gives us an abrupt, surface, short attention span when it comes to reading. So then when you come to the Bible, didn't get that. Let's cut to the chase here. What has happened? What? I don't even understand that. Let me move to something that's easier. You know what? I already know this. I know that Jacob, he tricks his dad. Okay, I already know what's happening here, actually. You know, our mindset gets a little bit tainted, and we are handicapped in our approach to reading the Bible because of how we read everything else. Are you with me? But you know, sometimes we say, all right, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to stay with it because that's my personality, you know. And I just read in the pastor's message on the e-letter that, you know, if I spend 71 hours, I'll get through the whole Bible. So that's just 15 minutes a day, actually less. And so that's like 3 chapters a day. And so I'm a pretty fast reader. So, you know, I'll be through the Bible in a year easy. And we get so focused on the goal of reading at a clip pace that we also miss the depth that this book offers. I wonder if the eunuch was reading to try to get through 3 chapters a day in Isaiah. Actually, I think he read it more than one time, more than twice, more than 3 times. I mean, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me to slow down in reading the Bible? I mean, if I do that, I will not get through it in a year. And then where will we be? Guess what? What are we trying to do in being in the Word? Is it about quantity or quality? Is it about truly understanding what God has for you and then responding to it, or just information and knowledge? tell you, I'm preaching to myself. I need to come to this book, not just looking at the basic story, fact pattern. I tell you, this is an onion, and there's a lot of depth to God's word. The strength of my relationship is not just understanding what Christ says, but doing it and how I respond. God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Acts chapter 8, now verse 36. So, now, as they went down the road, they came to some what? Water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Amen. And Victoria, hi. You joined the eunuch. Promise of the sacred text number 4, spiritual growth happens. When we spend time in the Word, as Pastor Jim spent with Victoria, and as we spend privately, right, we will grow. We will be compelled to change and do things differently, think differently, get baptized. And by the way, I wonder if there's someone here that has yet given their lives fully to Christ. That's the way you do it. That's the way you get married to Him, as you get baptized. This is your day. God's putting that on your heart. Come talk to one of the pastors again, one of the elders. We'd love to sit down with you and help you in that journey. I love this scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. In the Message translation, every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. You might be thinking, okay, great, great. That's fine. Great. Okay. All right. I'm convinced. I need to be in the Word. I want to be that 16% every day. But really, how should I read this book? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about that in more detail in a couple Sabbaths as we complete this 5-week series. But I can give you a short answer, and that is, number one, stop reading the Bible. What? Yeah, stop reading it. Start meditating upon it. Start pondering it. Don't read it like a text on your phone. And number two, apply it to your life. You know, every time I read the Bible, I try. I don't always do it. Lord, what is the application today? Based on what I read, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to think? How can this teaching affect my life today? Psalms 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I consider this a quote from one of the greatest prayer warriors of the 19th century. Most of us know who he is, George Mueller, right? One of the greatest prayer warriors. Here's what he said about the Word of God. As the outward man is not fit for work for any length of time unless he eats, so it is with the inner man. What is the food of the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. Not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through our minds, just as water runs through a pipe. No, we must consider what we read, ponder over it, and apply it to our hearts. And so, 4 promises. 4 promises when you read the Holy Scripture. When you read the sacred text, 4 promises. Number 1, worship happens. Number 2, the helper comes, the Holy Spirit. Number 3, you're going to see Jesus. And number 4, you're going to grow spiritually. I want to conclude with this short quotation from one of my favorite books, Steps to Christ. As the miner discovers veins of precious metal concealed beneath the surface of the earth, so will he or she who perseveringly searches the Word of God as for a hidden treasure finds truths of the greatest value which are concealed from the view of the careless seeker. Friends, how about if you join me, because I'm, again, preaching to myself, in not treating the Bible like we do our technology, but truly approaching it with a slowed pace and a searching heart. Let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord God, we live in a get-it-done society. We live in a society that values efficiency, values progress. Lord Jesus, when it comes to reading your word, it's almost counterintuitive. We've already been there. We've done that. But yet, Lord Jesus, this is your primary way of communicating to us your love, your encouragement, your convictions. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to pray that today, at the beginning of this brand new year, you would convict our hearts to reapproach the Word of God in a way we've never had before, perhaps. Give us a slowed pace. If you're willing to do that with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're willing to reapproach the text in a slowed pace, would you tell Jesus that by raising your hand? Praise the Lord. Jesus sees your hand, and he wants to speak to your heart. Lord, honor the commitments of your people is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn, number 272, Give Me the Bible.
Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold a faith lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, love and love combining, till night shall vanish in the eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten, teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety, o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message finding. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and